God is good, hallelujah, and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. I'm going to drink a water here. As the word of God says that man shall not live by bread alone. We need the word of God, hallelujah, in order to be saved. One place the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, bless us, almighty God, hallelujah, and help us to do right and do well. Be with us, O Lord, and hear our prayers, almighty God, hallelujah. Bless those that hear us, Lord, and bless those that are praying for us, hallelujah. Let truth be manifest and deliver, Lord God, souls, hallelujah, from these cults. And in Jesus' name, we take authority in the name of Jesus over these cults. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Agreeing together in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God, hallelujah. Let's worship him again, hallelujah. Let's praise him. Thank you. Praise the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody say in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, hallelujah. You may be seated, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, we know, hallelujah, that, anyway, before I start, I want to thank those that have been praying for us and listening to our sermons over the CD-ROMs or whatever, over the internet. We want to thank you for your prayers. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Some preaching too new. Some preaching, Bible says, stir up your pure minds, way of remembrance. We can hardly preach Acts 2:38 too often. But Peter was talking to the people that had crucified Jesus and said, therefore, starting in Acts verse, chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Because we know that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Another place we know in the word of God that says the princes of this world had known they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means it was the Lord of glory on the cross. Praise the Lord. We remember from 1 John 3:16, hallelujah. God laid down his life. We teach that it was God on the cross, hallelujah. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here they were. They were the people that, thinking they were serving God, thinking they were doing the right thing, thinking they were doing good. But they had actually, when Jesus came to them, they had crucified him. People are doing a lot of really bad things in this world, thinking they are serving God, thinking they are doing the right thing. They killed God, who is manifest in the flesh, thinking they were doing something good. Today we have people blowing up airplanes, we have people blowing up themselves, thinking they are doing something good, thinking they are going to get a reward. They believe their religion, which is a false religion, it's a religion of hatred and evil, it's a religion of violence, hatred, and death. They believe that religion enough to go blow themselves up. And we can't hardly even use the term baby boomer anymore. things that are going on. Newspapers with pictures of these Islam women helping their kids dress up with their little play bombs. We've got that on our bulletin board out here. That's the love of a mother for a child that she wants him to. And they talk about, they're just thrilled that their kids would be willing to do something. They believe. So just believing something doesn't make it true. You can believe it and you can be dedicated. Who among us is as dedicated as those? Something to think about. Who among us is as dedicated? We who serve the true living God, the true Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Which of us has that much dedication? Of course, the true God, Lord Jesus Christ, does not require of us to do those things. All the things that God requires of us are things that are for our own good because he is a shepherd. A shepherd does not bring harm to the sheep. A shepherd does not lead the sheep into danger and harm. The shepherd does not use sheep as weapons. Think about that. He is the true shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. He says that we are the sheep. Think about that. He said, I prepare a table before me. Well, prepares a table was like when they set up a place. You know, if a shepherd prepares a table, it's not like a table we sit down at. A table, and talks about, you know, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That means that the shepherd prepares a safe place for the sheep. He pulls up the poisonous plants. The sheep left to themselves would eat things that would kill them and harm them, and the shepherd takes away. So Jesus only requires of us to give up things that are harmful to us. The things that we know of sins, like some of the things like smoking and drinking and drugs and these things, they hurt us. The true shepherd, Jesus, the true God, does not use his sheep as weapons. But who among us has the dedication and the belief and the sincerity of these people that are going and blowing themselves up and sending their children to go blow themselves up? That is how, that will should show you right there how much sincerity is worth by itself. Sincerity is worthless if you're wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. You can be dedicated to something 100%. Who among us is dedicated enough to send one of our children to go blow themselves up against an enemy? But see, God does not call us to that. He is the true shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. The shepherd does not send his sheep as weapons. The shepherd takes care of and nurtures his sheep. But reading. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He was talking to the people that had crucified Jesus. They thought they were serving God when they crucified Jesus. It's like on these false churches all over the city. They think they're serving God when they teach their false doctrines and preach their lies and their false Trinity religion and such like that. They think they're serving God, but their sincerity is worth just as much as it is with these baby boomers over there. I shouldn't use that term. The Muslims still blowing up our kids and such, sending their children as bombs. Who among us, though, has that amount of dedication and sincerity? We serve the living God, the real God. Who among us has that amount of sincerity and dedication? It's really something to think about. Reading verse 37, I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now you know something, somebody says something to you. Here they had crucified God. They've been waiting on a Messiah. Then all of a sudden they found out because he didn't stay dead. Jesus proved who he was. He proved he was God because he didn't. They killed him and he didn't stay dead. Muhammad, that these idiots are worshiping, plop and rot. When he died, he's rotted in the grave. They're worshiping a rotting corpse. That's plain stupid. the bones of Jesus Christ cannot be found on this earth. The bones of Muhammad can be found on this earth. If they're not chopped up, messed up, something like that. But Jesus proved who he was. He rose from the dead and he went up in the clouds unto heaven. And a God that cannot handle the death thing is not a good God. If you're going to have a religion, if you're going to worship God, the God you're worshiping had better be able to handle the death thing. Because if he can't handle the death thing, then all you got is a philosophy. There's all kinds of things, philosophies and stuff that will tell you, oh, live right, do this, don't drink, don't do this. And they'll give you some good advice. And if you follow that advice, you won't suffer. If they tell you not to drink and you don't drink, then you won't have a hangover. But that doesn't mean that you're necessarily a Christian. It doesn't mean that God is in it, because the devil has his counterfeits. Now, when they heard this, that they had crucified God, they were pricked in their heart. Imagine, a feeling. Somebody tells you something and you're just pricked. It hurts to the core. I don't know if I've ever really experienced that, but I think I have. When you find out something that just, usually it's somebody was dead or something like that, and you're just pricked in your heart. And that's to the core. That is to the core. He just told people, said, you just crucified the Lord. Another verse I had mentioned, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Bible says Jesus was the Lord of glory, not some second person in some Trinity God squad. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter preached to them the plan of salvation. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. That's just a little word, but there's incorporates a lot. Repent means you quit. A thief that repents of being a thief doesn't steal anymore. A fornicator that repents of fornication doesn't fornicate anymore. People that do all kinds of sins, a smoker that repents of smoking quits smoking. Somebody repents of something means you quit. He's talking about sin there. Says Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that blows away half of the false churches, or 90% of the false churches in this city. I say, even 98 or 99% of the false churches in this city, because they do not baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, because they're really just Trinitarians, which is really nothing but Catholic light. Either Catholic or Catholic light. Because they worship the same Trinity the Pope does. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, he was just talking to the Jews then. Yes, that's true. But then he went on, he didn't stop. He said, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise. For the promises unto you and to your children. Yes, they were talking to Jews. Then he says, to all that are afar off. That includes the Gentiles. And then he really nailed it down. He says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if you're one that God has called, you are commanded to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not the Trinity titles, but in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because there's only one God. There's not three of them. There are three records of one God. But there's also a commandment. It says, know ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, I want everybody to pay real close attention here. This is real brief, but it's important that you know this. I just showed you that Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Clearly, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then all the way down here to verse 41, I just kept reading in context. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people baptized in Jesus' name. And I tell you what, anybody that's not preaching this exact same message is not a Christian. Any church that's not preaching this as the plan of salvation is not going to heaven. And then it doesn't stop there. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. Thousands of people, about 3,000, baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Looking for another verse here. A lot of the false churches misunderstand John 3:16 because they take it out of context. There's another verse called 1 John 3:16. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. That's why we preach that it was God on the cross, manifest in the flesh, that Jesus really was God. Because here it says, who laid down His life for us? Was it not Jesus Christ? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That it was God. That was on the cross. And laid down His life. Praise the Lord. Moving over to chapter 5. Verse 3, I'm going to try to hit on a lot of things. What is the love of God? So many people, there's probably every church in this city would be glad to talk to you about love. Oh, love this, love that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that's a little different than the old false preacher getting up there saying, oh, I put on my pants the same way you do. I sin every day. You sin every day. We all sin every day. No, the Bible says he that sins is of the devil. If you're living in sin, you're of the devil. God came to deliver us from sin. And those that love God keep His commandments, because that is how God defines love. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Like I was telling you before, His commandments are not grievous. Every commandment, every holiness standard, everything out of this Bible is purely to keep you from destroying yourself and several other people. The only thing that I know of that's forbidden by the Bible is one or another type of self-destructive behavior. God withholds no good thing from us. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's not teaching three gods. This is the same book. This is part of the same letter that says it was God that laid down his life. There are three records of one God. there's different records of us. There's probably different records of me. I'm on record as a husband. I'm on record as a father. I'm on record as a taxpayer. But I'm not three separate persons. Neither is God. We're created in the image of God, and none of us are three separate persons. And when we do find one among us that is three separate persons, we lock them up for the protection of themselves and the protection of society. And you should, if you ever run into anybody that is three separate persons, you need to make a phone call. Make the city a safer place. But I tell you what, God is not three separate persons either. But there are different records. There's many records. He manifests God. God spoke out of a burning bush. But God is not a flower. God was in the candlesticks. But God is not furniture. You know, people are not being honest. Praise the Lord. Moving to the second letter of John. I'll give you a definition of the word love again. And this is love. Reading the second letter of John, second epistle of John, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now, probably 90% of the false churches in the city say, oh, that you're saved by grace and by faith and all this, and you don't have to obey anything. They're lying. They're liars. Oh, look at this next verse. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The word Jesus Christ, the word Jesus, translates from Joshua, which also means Jehovah Savior, or Jehovah has become our salvation. So when we understand the meaning of the words here, we see, for many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not that Jehovah Savior is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So folks, the Trinity religion is not merely ignorance. It is evil. It is antichrist because they do not confess that Jehovah is come in the flesh. The Jesus they worship is a second person in a man-made Catholic Trinity. You can trace it all the way back. Then a warning from the Bible. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. How can that be? Because the Father and the Son are the same persons. Didn't Jesus tell Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father? Sure enough. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Because we see over here the three records of one. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's why we should not even say, God bless you, to a Trinity preacher. to someone that is actively promoting false doctrines. Doesn't mean everybody that happens to be lost in a false church or something like that. But it's talking about people that's bringing a doctrine. That's why when those Mormon devils come, they don't get past the front door. We don't invite them in and sit down for a Bible study. Because if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. Let me tell you something. Godspeed, when you look at the translation of that word, is much, much more than simply the two words Godspeed. We rarely use that. In our modern terms, it's any kind of Christian greeting. Hey, brother. Praise the Lord, brother. God bless you. Some false preacher's going up and down the street. So, I mean, there's people that we have had literally that as neighbors, that if they came to the house as neighbors or friends or whatever, I would have welcomed them into the house. If they had, and we've had the same people sometimes come to our house with false Christian tracts. In some cases, I curse them in the name of the Lord right on the doorstep. And some of them look at me like, you'd think I was the first person to ever curse them in the name of the Lord. I mean, really. But the Bible says in Galatians 1 and 8, if any come to you preach any other doctrine, let him be accursed. And then he even repeats it in verse 9. If you don't believe me, look it up in Galatians 1, verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible does not teach tolerance towards false religions. But why would I? But it says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed, or Christian greeting, or Christian blessing, or whatever. Talking about, remember, we're not talking about somebody that happens to go to a false church. I mean, half people in the world or more. We're not talking about that. We're talking about someone that is actively promoting a doctrine. Bringing a doctrine. They might come over here believing anything they want to. But if they come here teaching, if they come teaching, that is a different story. God draws a line there. God has a distinction there. Whether someone is just a victim of a false doctrine or whether someone is a purveyor of it. Just like the law draws different things. If someone is a user of drugs, that's bad. But often if they're caught, they'll just let them go or something. But someone that is a purveyor, someone that is a pusher, someone that is a dealer, that one is probably going to jail. See, when you're a purveyor, if you're a false preacher, in the sense of doctrines. That's why we don't bid them Godspeed or anything like that if they're actively promoting a false doctrine, because he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We want to say, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Praise the Lord. Moving back, 1 John 5. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.